Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, where we read, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church at Laodicea. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And particularly these words, "So then, because thou art lukewarm." And we want to meditate upon these words in context tonight. And we do crave the blessing of the Lord upon the preacher and upon those in the pew also, that we might deal with this subject sensitively, yet truthfully. And that's the title I want to give to the sermon tonight, is Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. We all know what an X-ray is. No doubt many of you have had an X-ray. It gives you a picture of what's inside that the naked eye cannot see. This is what we have here before us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who moves among the congregations, who is able to accurately assess the corporate spiritual life of the congregation, and of course, every individual who's part of that congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ, in some sense, is able to go like an X-ray and look at things as they really are. The exterior may well be in good condition. It may be fine, fit, proper, trim. Outwardly, it may well look correct and orthodox and well. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not deal on the surface. He judges the heart. He goes straight to the reins. Because ultimately the life comes from the heart, from the inside. And here he looks at this church as he looked at six other churches in Asia and give his report to each of them in due order. And when he came to the Laodiceans, this is what he said of them. This was his infallible judgment concerning them. "So then, because thou art lukewarm." And friends, what we need to realize is that Christ's estimation was completely and utterly different from their estimation of themselves. "Thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot." And as a result, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, we are to take these words obviously figuratively, but what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying unmistakably to a church, he's not saying this to the world. He's not saying this to unbelievers. He's not saying this to Muslims. He's not saying this to atheists. He is saying this to professing Christians, that in some sense their spiritual life is lukewarm, and as a result it is sickening unto him. And tonight, friends, we want to examine in some sense our own lives, our congregational life, our own individual spiritual lives. We want, by the help of the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, to accurately go into our own hearts, that we might be led by the Spirit of God to look at our own lives and to look at our congregational life, and to avoid above all things the charge that thou art lukewarm. Because, friends, whatever it is something that is sickening to the Lord Jesus Christ, that professing Christians should be lukewarm. Now, those of you who have good memories will realize that we have gone through the book of Revelation and we looked at this. Maybe well over a year ago, we would have looked at all of these churches and we would have looked at Laodicea in turn. God willing, I hope not to repeat what I said on that occasion. But a bit of background might help us, because when he is writing to each church, he is being very, very personal, and he is using the circumstances and the environment and the situation of where the church is placed to pass a message to them, using things and illustrations and places of interest and points that are relevant to their own particular congregation that would resonate with them in order to convey a message to them. Now, Laodicea was in Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey, and it was close to Colossae, another church, and another church called Hierapolis. Now, these two churches had water. Hierapolis had hot springs, and Colossae was known for cool water, cold water, water that was lovely to drink. And Laodicea was up on a plateau. It was almost impregnable. It was a fortress, and people were inclined to be very satisfied and self-sufficient and to realize, well, we are up here. No one's going to attack us. And therefore, there was a certain amount of complacency about them. But in order to get water, the water had to be piped. And it came from either Colossae or it came from Hierapolis. Now, the cool water, as it came from Colossae, by the time it went to Laodicea, the cool water became somewhat warm. It became lukewarm. And of course, the same thing happened as the water came from Hierapolis. The warm water, once it was piped to Laodicea, it had lost its heat and it had become somewhat lukewarm. And there was the Christ speaking to them through their environment, telling them that they were like this water, they were lukewarm. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure that we either like our water cold, and it's very refreshing when it is, and this might go for any drink that we have. We either like it cold, or we like it warm, but we do not like it lukewarm. And that's what Jesus is impressing upon the Laodiceans. Their profession of faith, their commitment to the Lord Jesus is lukewarm. This city too, Laodicea, it was noted for a banking facility, a banking stronghold. It was a banking center, and it was generally a wealthy place. And it was known for a place where they produced a certain wool, a glossy, soft, black wool. And you will see that he is bringing these things out in the message that he is giving to the people of Laodicea. And they were also noted for a great medical school. And that medical school was in its day famous because they produced an eye salve, something that was used to help the sight. And again, that is mentioned in the letter given to the Laodiceans. So with that introduction and background, friends, we want to proceed on our subject. And as we look at it tonight, we really have two goals and two aims. We want to expose ourselves, or we want to examine ourselves to see that we are not lukewarm. We want to look at it and we want to say to ourselves, we want to honestly examine ourselves, and we hope we will come to the conclusion that we are not lukewarm. And the second aim and goal is that Although we might find ourselves and we might examine ourselves and say that we are not lukewarm, and that may well be a true estimation of us, but we also want to prevent the possibility of us becoming lukewarm, because it's vitally important to realize this is something that can affect us all. And although the exterior may look well, the heart of the matter may well be completely and utterly different. Therefore, when we look at the subject, we want to do it to avoid being lukewarm. Now, you might say, well, this was relevant surely to the Laodiceans, but this is not relevant to us. But it is. It is vitally important to us, because the Lord speaks through his word. Does he not end in verse 22? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This message is not just for Laodicea. It was apt and it was appropriate for them, certainly. It was tailor-made for them, certainly. But what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and therefore the application is for all churches. And of course, as churches, what are they? They're made up of individuals. Therefore, it applies to all of us. Minister, office bearer, members, adherents, we must hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, he charges them with being lukewarm. And there's four indications here that they were and truly indeed lukewarm. They had lost their vigor, firstly. They had lost their vigor. Verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They had lost their spiritual vigor and their spiritual vitality. You know, friends, the Bible would teach us there are three kinds of temperatures in the heart of the Christian. Or maybe I should more accurately say there are three temperatures in the Christian life that the Bible records. One of them we looked at very briefly in Luke chapter 24 in a sermon or two before, when we dealt with Jesus, when he was talking with the two disciples from Emmaus on the night of the resurrection. When these two disciples were on the road to Emmaus and the Lord Jesus Christ drew alongside them and they were despondent. And in order to correct their despondency, the Lord Jesus begins and opens up the scriptures. He goes through Genesis. He goes through the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And there from the books of the Bible, he brings out himself. He reveals Christ and how the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and he had to suffer before he entered into his glory. And the Bible tells us that the hearts of these disciples burned. They were truly affected by the word of God, and they were delighted in what they heard concerning the Messiah. And what happened was all their thinking beforehand was in some sense erased as the Lord Jesus Christ opened up the scriptures and applied them to himself, that they might see his going to the cross was no accident. That they might see this was part of God's wonderful plan to bring about the salvation of his people. And that Christ indeed had to suffer. He had to go to the cross. He had to go to the grave in order that he might rise again and enter into his glory where he is now, friends. And when the scriptures were opened up, oh, their hearts burned. They loved the word of God. They loved it. Friends, I want to ask you tonight, ask yourself tonight, as you sit there on the chair, does your heart burn when the word of God is open to you? Or do you fall asleep? Ask yourself, friend, it's vitally important that you address this subject. Because this is a sure sign that there's lukewarmness if our heart does not burn when we're under the Word of God, when we're not told about the Lord Jesus Christ, then, friends, something is happening to us. Are we lukewarm then? Can we come to the Scriptures? Can we look at the Lord Jesus? Can we read about Him? Can we see what He did? And can we indeed be ones whose hearts are unmoved? Can we not see the passion of the Lord Jesus that drove Him to the cross? That He would not be distracted? That He knew that He had to go to Calvary? That He was prepared to give up His life in order to save His people? Does that not turn your heart? Does that not motivate you? If it doesn't, friends, there's something wrong. The heart's not burning as it should do. There's another heart. It's called a cold heart. We find it in Matthew's Gospel. When Jesus is talking about eschatology, the study of last times, when He's talking about the time when He will return, and He says the love of many will wax cold. At the end times, He says the love of many will wax cold. Their hearts will be cold. Oh, friends, maybe that's your position tonight. You hear about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear about the terrible things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear about the awesome things. You hear about judgment day. You hear about death. You hear about eternity. You hear that you'll stand before Him and your hearts are totally unmoved. They're dead. They're cold. They're like granite. Where is your heart then tonight? Is it warm? Is it cold? Or is it lukewarm here? Lukewarm? What is a lukewarm Christian? A lukewarm professing Christian is one who is comfortable. He's satisfied. She's satisfied. She's complacent. He's complacent. Self-sufficient. These are the things that we find in this chapter concerning these people. What does it say? I am rich and increased with goods. That's surely a reference to the banking system there. A place noted for finance. They were just like the world. Just like the world. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need anything. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They had lost their vigor. They had lost their vitality. They were completely and utterly lukewarm and indifferent to Christ and to His gospel. Romans tells us, in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, Paul exhorts the Romans in clear words that you and I can understand. I mean, the words here in Revelation, we have to interpret them. They are prophetic. They are not the same as normal scriptures, we might say. But Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, not slothful in business. And the business he's talking about is not commercial business. Although we should not be slothful in our daily callings, that is true. But when he says not slothful in business, he's talking about the Christian life. That's what he's talking about. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That should be our position, Christian. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 speaks of one Epaphras. Paul says of this person, Epaphras, who is one of you. Epaphras belonged to the church in Colossae, a servant of Christ. We would think possibly the minister, saluteth you. And this is what Paul says about Epaphras, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Nothing lukewarm about Epaphras. And friends, do you not see the connection? The people on Emmaus Roads, their heart burned when the word of God was opened to them. And here was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a minister of the gospel. He was laboring for them in prayer. Here's the great hallmarks of those who are not lukewarm. They love the word of God and they will be found in prayer. There's a great connection, is there not? There's a connection there. If we're not found in prayer, we will not love the word of God. Our hearts will not burn. Where do you stand then? Have you lost your vigor? Look at your life. How long have you been a Christian? Can you honestly say it's the same kind of Christianity it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Or can you honestly say that 30 years ago maybe you had more life, more vigor, more enthusiasm, more drive, more zeal? They lost their vigor. Secondly, they lost their values. 17 again, verse 17 towards the end. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You know what he's telling the people here is, what you need you'll not get in the bank. What you need you'll not get in any financial institution. What you need, you will not get in the world. You will only get from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, things were completely and utterly different to what they had realized. We are rich, they were saying. Look at our building. Look at our financial situation. Look at our membership. Look at our baptisms. Look at our programs, mother and toddler groups. Look at our praise group. Look at our choir. Look at our outreach. Look at all the things we're doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells them, what? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, friends, as we look at our lives, we can assess them completely and utterly wrongly. Have we lost our values then? Thirdly, they had lost their vision. Here was a church that forgot the very reason for their existence. What is the church? The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has purchased it with his blood. He is the head of the church. He builds the church. He looks after the church. He loves the church. He gives the church gifts. He gives them preachers and teachers. He gives them apostles and prophets and evangelists. And now today he gives them pastors and teachers and office bearers. And through the preaching of the gospel, people are brought into the church under ultimately the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are called out of the world to belong unto Christ and to be associated with him. And this church here was just like the world. There was no difference. And they forgot this great vision that they should have had, that they were there to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there to worship him as he has laid down in his word, and they were to be faithful to him and to him alone. And they were there to be a city that's set upon a hill and to be a light in a dark world. And friends, the New Testament world, the first century, was a dark world. It had been gripped by idolatry and heathenism, and the Christian church had been established, and it had begun to grow, and it was truly lights in dark places. And they had lost that vision. Instead, they were just like the world. It's interesting, friends, to notice that in this church here, there was no persecution. Other churches were noted for their faithfulness. And because they were faithful, they were being persecuted. And that's what happens when a church is truly faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, gathering in His name, seeking to honor Him in all aspects of church life, and seeking to take up the Great Commission and to go into the world with the everlasting gospel and to bring it forcefully before people, they will find that they will be persecuted. But there was no persecution in this church because they did not go out. They did not reach out. They did not in any sense preach the gospel, which is an offense to the natural man. And because they were so like the world, they had no persecution, and they were able to do all that they wanted to do without any bother. Oh, that's the church. That's where they meet, like a little social club. Nothing happens there. You don't need to worry about there. Yes, you can go along there. You can have a good time. They'll look after you. They had lost their vision. Congregations and individual professing Christians can lose their vision, and it must be corrected. Because if you are a professing Christian, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to the opportunities that come to you in providence, and according to your calling, and according to your capabilities, you have a commission and a duty and a responsibility to reach out. Now, some will have more opportunities than others. That's true. But everyone will have opportunities. God will give us opportunities. And we are to reach out, no matter how unpopular it may well be. And we cannot lose sight of our vision, that of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, being honest to Him, being faithful to Him, and reaching out with the glorious, life-changing gospel. Well, fourthly, their lukewarmness was shown by the fact that they had lost their vesture or their clothing. What does it say in verse 17? Naked. They were naked. Now, naked, what does it mean? Naked in the Bible means not just simply having no clothes, but what it really means here is it has been defeated and humiliated. That's what they really were in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they may well be clothed in the finest of garments. They may well know the soft, black, glossy wool that Laodicea was noted for. But as far as Christ was concerned, they were without clothes. They were naked. They were defeated and humiliated. And they had none whatsoever. No commendation from the great head of the church. Nothing is said in their favor in this epistle here. Why? Because they were so busy commending themselves. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Well, that's their condition, friends. That's how they were lukewarm. And that's how Christ found them so sickening. Now, we might conclude by looking at this, well, there's no hope for them here. If this is the verdict of the Lord Jesus, if this is His divine and perfect analysis of their life, there's no hope for them. We would be wrong. we would be wrong. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is highlighting their condition in order that they might repent, in order that they might turn. And there's three things I want to say as we conclude, briefly. He gives an explanation in verse 19. The real reason why this letter, why this epistle was sent to them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Here was a professing Christian church whose love for the Lord Jesus Christ had declined. It was lukewarm. It was nothing like what it should be. It had truly gone down. But the Lord Jesus Christ is reaching out to them and he's saying, I still love you. As many as I love, I rebuke. When does a church cease to become a church? That's a very difficult question to answer. And it would take a bold man to do that. We might say, as we look at this church here, there's no hope for them. Surely they cannot be properly a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yes. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's holding out to them to change their ways, to amend themselves, and to experience his love and his grace yet again, that they might truly be revived in some sense, and that they might be the church that they should be. Maybe this is true for us. Maybe this is true for some individuals in our midst. Oh, indeed, that we would realize that Christ does love his people. We have an exhortation here. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There's hope. There's grace. Jesus Christ does not cast off. There's hope. As long as we're under the means of grace, there is hope. And lastly and finally, we would have here an invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, we're inclined to use this in evangelistic addresses and messages. And we're inclined to apply this to the unbelievers. Friends, first and foremost, this was given and this was delivered to a professing Christian church and to professing Christians in that church. And friends, the reality is that the Lord Jesus Christ was outside of the church. And he says, behold, look at this. Here I am, one of my churches, and I'm outside. And what does he say? I stand at the door and knock. Do you know this, friends, that when it says here, I stand, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them something that they are to grasp. The verb can easily be translated, but it means this: I have taken my stand. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to be patient with them. He was going to stand there. It's like when someone takes a stand over some issue. They don't just stand there for a moment. They take their stand. Is that not what Luther did that began the Reformation? He took his stand in some sense. Well, that's what happened here. The Lord Jesus Christ is conveying to them, I am taking a stand. I'm at the front door. I'm not going to go away. This is an invitation then to the church, and particularly to individuals within that congregation, that they would respond and that they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the wonderful promise. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What's he talking about? He's talking about wonderful fellowship and communion. He's talking about intimacy. That church that was once lukewarm to the Lord Jesus, or that professing Christian that was once lukewarm and nauseating and sickening to Christ, he says, if you will but open the door, I will come in. And our relationship will be transformed and changed. Friends, we can all be inclined to be lukewarm. You know, the world loves when they see a sportsman giving everything for his sport, or a businessman who is keen for his business. He's up early in the morning. He's up late at night. He's scheming. He's planning. He's working. His business is prospering. And the world say, what a wonderful man. Or maybe the young person. The young person's busy at school and they pass their exams and they go on to university. And what happens? At university, they are diligent. They're at their books and they're making progress and they pass their exams. And maybe they want to become a doctor, or maybe they want to become a nurse or a dentist or whatever. And they give everything for that pursuit. And the world thinks it's wonderful. When they see someone who is zealous for a cause and who will give everything to pursue what they want to aim for. Yet, friends, is it not true that the world, or I should say the church, is full of lukewarmness? How dare us be so lukewarm? Did the Lord Jesus Christ, was he lukewarm? No, he wasn't. Do we not deal with the subject that demands all of our attention? Are we not dealing with the salvation of our never-dying eternal souls? Are we not dealing with this tremendous subject? Where will we spend eternity? Are you going to be lukewarm over that, friends? Let us avoid this. Let us be zealous. And let us follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all our might. And let us lament that we are not more foolhardy, that we're not as committed as we should be. And let us go unto the Lord Jesus Christ that he might stir us up, that truly we would walk the narrow road that leads unto life, with all the energy and with all the enthusiasm that we can muster. For surely this is a cause above all causes, the salvation of our souls. Amen. And may God be pleased to bless his word to us. Let us pray together.